Previously on 24.
For God's sake, pull yourself together.
You didn't have to kill her.
Yes, I did, because you didn't have the courage to kill her yourself.
Courage? To poison a girl who did no harm to you at all?
This is my husband, Navi. This is Debbie's mother.
Is she here?
We haven't seen her since yesterday.
Get in the car. Follow her. Make sure she doesn't go to the police.
Chloe, you're out of here.
Chloe!
Don't worry, Edgar. Driscoll doesn't know you were helping me.
She doesn't.
I'm the one who got you into this. I'm not going to sell you out.
We'll be here until you tell me what I need to know.
Richard, your father was kidnapped by terrorists.
Our polygraph analysis tells us that you're hiding something that might help us find them.
There are people on the outside looking for us. You cannot give up.
I have to do something while I still can. This trial is going to be a spectacle, broadcast all over the world, designed to humiliate and degrade this country.
There's a gas pipe.
You checked out the briefcase? It's fine.
I was afraid it might be damaged in the train crash.
The case is very strong.
Come on, get him out! Now! Come on! Hurry! Open the door! Now!
I know you.
She recognized me. She has to be killed.
Aaron, I'm on site.
Jack, stand down.
What are you talking about?
The Marines won't get there on time.
The President wants to take out the building with a missile strike.
With the Secretary and his daughter inside?
Yes. I'm sorry. You're gonna have to clear the area. Jack, don't go in there alone. Jack, clear the area. The building is going to be destroyed.
Hi, I'm Joseph Hodges. I'm the production designer on 24.
And with him today is me, John Kassar. I'm the director of this particular episode and a co-executive producer on the show. We should talk about this location. It was actually a military base in World War II.
That's right, a cannon emplacement.
It was down in Long Beach, and there were actually big guns that were pointing out to sea waiting for the potential attack from the Japanese.
I think they said they only fired the gun once because the houses for a mile around, all the glass in the window in their windows
right.
got broken. So I think the cannons were only ever fired once.
And of course, we decided to start the show with absolutely no waste of time, and Jack making his move. This is, I think, really, you know, one of the advantages our show has all the time, and that's the way we're able to box these scenes. So you can, you know, see the two things happening at once. And I think this is one of the best uses of the year of it. Because what it shows you is that while the government people are talking, Jack is in action.
Right. He's on his way.
He's on his way. That slide, too, just to go back a little bit, that slide wasn't something we planned. It was just another one of those things that Kiefer adds as we're blocking through the day. And so we got the grips to give us a little bit of plastic and made a slippy slide.
That's right.
And he slid all the way down. You don't see it in the shot because the weeds cover it. Yeah, it was very interesting using this location. And even when we picked it, it's funny because we constantly have to pick locations without knowing what was coming. And in that particular case, I remember we were very aware that at some point, somebody was going to rescue somebody.
Yeah, I think that's actually why we did choose that place, because we could do the helicopters. We knew the helicopters were coming, and otherwise I don't think I would have chosen that as the location of a timber yard.
Now, that must be something for you, too, Joseph, just to constantly think about that, even in the design of the sets.
Yeah, no, like I say, I didn't particularly like this location. I've seen it on so many other shows, but it was the only place we could do this sort of big rescue with all the helicopters, so we chose it.
And it did work out well for us.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing, too, because we built some of it on set, although most people don't know what those parts are. We can probably point them out as we go.
Yeah, I think where in the previous episode where Heller and his daughter are in that room, that's all
right.
on stage.
That's all on stage.
And I think she goes back in it, yeah. in this room.
And this video, if you remember, this video
we did.
We shot
stage.
This video, I think, a month before we actually shot the scene at the location, because we needed the video playback for the CTU screen. So we actually put that fence up in those boxes. And
right.
if you really notice, there's no walls. You're not actually seeing any walls. It's only the set dressing. That was our only way to be able to put it on the screens, as you see behind Driscoll's head, is to shoot it ahead of time and then by the time we shot the attack, it was well down the road. And even in design of that, Joseph, just the design of all the video pieces that we did, I know I know both of us made a real effort, and you were really conscious of what the real ones looked like.
Oh yeah, with the symbol behind him. Actually, didn't end up being behind him. We just put it on the table on that, that one. Yeah, it was a bit. See now that stage.
That's stage. That's right.
Then location.
That's all stage. This is back at location.
She's on stage.
But this is all a set that we built to match the hallways and the color of the hallways. And this is actually a really interesting piece because this is a set and
but
that's
location.
That's fun. Maybe we'll just do that the whole show. What's a set? What's a location? Now we're back to our location. Back to set. And this was a great moment. This is really interesting too because this is where production design really starts to support what you're doing in the script. And, you know, this vent could have been many different things because in the script all it calls for is a vent. But I know we had conversations about this, and your idea was to have the two grates, which I thought was really great.
We couldn't pass the knife through it or something.
Yeah, so it made it difficult. It's always nice to see. It makes it more real by making it difficult.
You use that if you have to.
You get down to faces being very claustrophobic in these two moments, and they can't even touch each other, which I really liked. If we just put the one grate, then they'd be able to touch fingers, and it would be too much. But the fact that there were two grates, they couldn't touch. And now we're back on location.
Finally, we hold you responsible for blasphemy, for desecrating holy lands and shrines.
These are difficult to do. These kind of scenes.
Now, this is the first time. I love CTU when it's so wide. This is the first time we ever really saw CTU
really,
wide.
Yeah. And CTU is a tough place because our show doesn't usually shoot wide shots. Well, less than most shows. I think our show is about being right with our characters and being very close. But occasionally when you do pull out in CTU and you do box it like that, it looks just gorgeous. And again, there were a lot of planning here, and I got to give some kudos to Stan and Scotty, our effects guys, because they're just so good at you know, putting this stuff together. And all the hits you see, all the shots, that the car that's coming up, they were working on for weeks, getting that ready. And again, you don't see a lot of that on television. You don't see the hits. You see people shooting, but usually you don't see the hits because they take a lot of time. And this last one here is actually a digital one. And Jack is just a machine here. I think this is the first time this year you see him in the old Jack mode, the action Jack.
And Heller jumped right in.
Yeah, and you find out Heller's not too bad either, even though he's got a silly orange jumpsuit on. Yeah, there's a shot coming here that I like too. That I like that we do is when Heller shoots this guy right here. You know, it's out of focus in the background. You're actually on Jack.
Right.
And that always, again, makes it feel more real, that you're not doing specific shots for every little piece of action, that you're kind of seeing it as someone just being with them. And here's another one of our on set. Right. And
this
we open the door.
This is location.
And
this is on set.
That's
and she's gone.
On set. And again, it's interesting. You just got to have a logic to everything, you know. We needed them to get outside so they could get pinned down, but why would you go outside? Why wouldn't you just stay inside? So obviously by introducing the grenade, that forces you to go outside, and now you're caught. You know, you're caught out there. But this was spectacular by our effects guys. They did such a great job. The effects and stunt guys were just wonderful in this. All the hits that this poor car takes. That's something that came up on the day.
Oh, yeah.
I
remember when I saw this episode, I was shocked when he got hit because it wasn't in the script. And I wasn't there when you shot it. I was like, oh, my God, Jack's been shot.
And again, it's Jack and it's Kiefer, you know, knowing Jack and And we've done so many shootouts over the years that we've, you know, he wears his bulletproof vest virtually the whole season. And so we just decided that it might be really interesting to actually take a bullet, have it save his life for a change.
Bye. And that door behind them was a fake because coming up, you needed one of the guys to come out holding Audrey, but there wasn't a door there, so we put a fake.
And this is Tim Isofano's fabulous second unit, military unit. So all those helicopters and all the military things that you see here were all shot completely on a separate day. So again, it was, you know, a lot of planning as to us shooting Heller and Jack, and then they went back on a separate day and shot all the military. The military are incredibly cooperative with us and have just been fantastic in giving us the men and the helicopters to do this. It's a training mission for them, which is kind of interesting. So these are all the real deal. These are our armed forces coming in here. But again, you know, when it's cut and when it's all put together, you'd never know that it was shot virtually a month apart. Love that shot.
They're great.
Some shots we just love. We're just like children. Love that shot. But this door that he comes out of, if you notice, I mean, you can't notice. It looks like there's a door there. It's something that Joseph had to build. And again, it's always just finding little, you know, I'm always looking for something different in all these action scenes to just, you know, what have we seen before? How can we make this little standoff different? The fact that they both have knives, I mean, it makes them a team. You know, the fact that there's an unwritten sort of, they're talking to each other through their eyes, you know, it becomes really interesting to me. So it's not just another standoff. And the military are there to help save the day. It's really funny.
Now you can breathe. Now you
can breathe. it's funny because I remember, you know, when everyone saw this, we thought, wow, that was the first act in episode 6. It had such a finale to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's as big as probably any finale we had done up to that point. It was just a huge, huge scene. But it was also very important because, you know, he's saving her and the Secretary of Defense at the same time. And that was interesting. A great little end there where he would love to be the one hugging Audrey, but he can't because it's still a secret
relationship
at that point. Right. And so that was, you know, it took a little time to sort of find what the right dimension's going to be there, who hugs who and who doesn't get to be hugged. And then you get to pay it off in this next scene with this little hand touch.
Now, that's our fake helicopter?
That's our fake helicopter. That's right. It's a real helicopter, except it doesn't have an engine anymore. And that was that's probably the most challenging position we've ever put it in.
Mm.
Because it, you know, usually we have it sitting on a road or
yeah,
something.
I mean, we
flat.
Try and put it in a lot. It always seems to get cut out.
I'll set up a live feed with the office in Washington. You won't miss a step. Those socials there are waiting.
That particular position was really difficult for the transport guys to get the helicopter in there. They had to crane it in. We just got this beautiful L.A. day for this.
Mm.
And it actually worked really nicely because there's something really sort of positive about seeing the sun and everything's okay. And this is one of those episodes that's really interesting to me here on 24 because you end everything. Everything finishes. You've solved every problem, or so you think.
Right.
Except, of course, you look on your schedule and say, it's episode 6. It can't be the end. And so, really, it's almost like an episode 1 in a way. You're starting all over again. You're introducing a new story. Start the second round, basically. And so, not only did you get this big ending at the end of Act 1, you got to start it all up, and this is the first part of it, introducing the husband. That's really interesting, because James actually has a British accent, which you hear, but we had to reshoot the scene because, actually, I don't think we reshot this one. I think we revoiced this
because
he was doing an American,
American
accent, and we just thought, you know what? He just looks British. He should do a British accent.
He actually got to use his own voice.
So he had to loop that. He had to put the British voice back into that scene, and then from there on in, we shot all the scenes with his own accent. And this is just, you know, one of those great moments where you just do it visually. They're both pointing different directions, and Dad gets a little hint of it. That's great. That's a fun part for me as a director. Those are the things that you come up with the actors as you rehearse it, and you block it out, and you start putting it together. So here's where we start to sneak in some of the new story. Now, C2 also has a very blue look. Talk about that this year, because that's really interesting.
I think after 3 years of the orange and gray, and even the metro buses in town have been painted orange and gray, I started to feel like it was sort of old hat. So I just, when we did, where did I use the red? Oh, in Division.
That's
in
right.
The third season,
the red
I think.
And the gray,
yeah, and the aluminum and the red lights. I started to fall in love with that sort of look then, so I've just brought it into the new CTU. But again, I mean, because we started in the day with the sort of orange and yellow, as you just saw at the rescue, with the sunlight. It was a good contrast to come back to this sort of cold blue always when you're in CTU.
Yeah, and I really notice it's real difference. Every time you make that cut from being outside to inside, CTU becomes its own place. It's got its own look.
Yeah, it's always really been my you know, the goal, because we don't establish a location, you have to have you're tight on someone's head, so you have to have something bold immediately behind them so you know exactly where they are. You know, here at the Yaraz house, we're back to the nice warm colors.
Back to the warm colors.
Nice friendly house.
And you can see how different that is to CTU. Yeah, and what Joseph means is that we do it, but very rarely do we establish the outside of a building. Mm-hmm. You know, where a lot of shows will say, you know, give you the outside of CTU and say, CTU, we just go back and forth constantly because it slows it down. I
cringe every time we do it.
And yeah, and Joseph really hates establishing shots. And I got to tell you, we don't do a lot of them.
No.
We do a few of them, and even the ones we do, we try to make them a little different. We try not to just have that shot of the building. We try to make them different, but we don't do much of them. And this was a fantastic set. I mean, people were shocked when I told them this was a set. It really looks like a suburban home in Los Angeles.
So this is set, and then is the mother outside?
No, this is this is Tariq. The mother was the episode before.
Oh, right.
This is our friend Tariq. But it's interesting. You've got to watch really carefully now. When this door opens, keep in mind, it's a set. That's a set. That's just a planter sitting on a concrete floor.
And a little bit of a backing.
A little bit of a picture. And you would just never think it is. I mean, it really looks real.
So this set became Anderson's apartment? Oh, what was the guy that...
I forget his name. But it's had four reincarnations.
Yeah, and then it became the bunker, the presidential bunker.
Now, what you've got to do is, as you look ahead into the episodes that are coming up, when you look at the presidential bunker, look at the staircase and look at the placement of the staircase and where the kitchen is and where the living room is on this set, to where the president's office is, and you'll notice that the layout is the same. You'll never recognize it because the walls are different and obviously the furniture is different, but the layout's actually the same. Here's the other thing I love about our show. If it's a scene, yeah, it is. It's a world of technology, and I think we try to do it. I know you're very conscious of it, Joseph, is to try to keep it within the realms of reality. Because I think if you take it all too far, it starts to become a little Star Trek. And so that's our challenge, is to keep some of this technical stuff. In this case, we're sending back a live feed. They're pulling frame stores.
Yeah, in fact, so most of the time, actually, some of the stuff is that we pull back from what's written. It's like
we
don't need to go that far. It's as simple as a video camera.
That's right.
Piping back to CTU.
But again, it's great, and we utilize the boxes that way. And it just gives them that little edge, and we almost need it. To move our story along, we need to find this information. You know, whereas a show, you know, other shows, could investigative shows, would take a good part of the hour to figure out one murder. We need to really push ahead faster than that. So I think the technology helps us.
I recognize at the warehouse. I want to make that ID.
As soon as you've been checked out by the
Now, it's interesting, too. We should talk about exits and entrances in CTU, because we never really see that front door. And I think we do that consciously.
Yeah, no, it worked better. In the previous seasons, we had those two doors at the end. It was meant to copy the location that they shot at the pilot, but people kept walking in, and it just didn't feel like an entrance. So this one, we just didn't put an entrance there.
We hit it around the corner.
Because then some directors would come in those doors from the left, and then some people would come in from the right.
Yeah.
So this time you have to come in from one direction. There's no argument whether I'm there or not.
And it gets us away from, you'd go through security,
oh, yeah,
and you'd be checked through a metal detector, and we just don't have time in our show to be doing that, because we are a real-time show, and so that would take too long to keep the story moving. So,
although in the first episode, in the pilot, or the first episode this season, we did design this CTU to be a... We were going to do that lovely shot where Jack came into CTU, and the whole area where the pods are was going to be the security, and there's a couple of walls that are actually hinged that open out, a couple of doors to the outside of stage, and we could have brought Jack straight in into this big security area, and then we would have picked him up coming into here. But I think just because of time and money, we didn't. And those walls still haven't been opened. I'm determined to do it at one point.
At some point we will. Again, CTU is great too, because if you see those last four shots that went by, every one of them had some foreground, which means there's objects in front of the camera that you'll notice are out of focus and very soft, and it makes it feel like it's you as an audience member looking behind something. This was a challenge too.
I think the second season, I think when we were in the bunker when we did the sliding photographs, I've always liked that.
Yeah.
Fading in.
Yeah, it made it really interesting. But I remember that actor wasn't available, and we didn't know about this when the scripts were written, about the train crash, needing the picture of the guy that was crashing the train. So we put some sand on the studio floor and laid down a double, that's actually not the actor, and had to take those pictures. But it worked well. I don't think anyone even thought about it.
I'm sure my sister will think that's there, her initials.
Your sister's initials?
Mary Frances.
There you go. So here again, we introduce the new story. McLennan Forrester's involved, defense contractor, and that little bit of pause that you had as an audience, well, it just went away. We're on a new hot trail.
Again, with the design of the logo, it's sort of, you know, big globe, make them sort of international.
Exactly.
You're dealing with somebody, hopefully, that's... worldwide.
And you realize this, I mean, if you do, I'm telling you, I guess, as an audience, that anything you see, any logo you see that isn't obviously a corporate logo that you recognize, Joseph actually designs. He puts all those together. So that McLennan Forrester you just saw is something that he would design from scratch.
Yeah, I think on that one I get a call from Dick an hour before they needed it. It was suddenly we needed the logo, and
I think we worked backwards on that. I think we put that little MF on the briefcase first.
Right.
And said to you, this is what we shot. Try to match it, will you?
Right.
And I think you had to go the other way. There's an unusual wide shot for us.
Yeah, but again, it's wide, but it's through the door. So again, you've narrowed it.
There's a foreground I was just talking about. As you see right in the middle of the frame. I mean, that's just very interesting.
And again, why I designed the kitchen doors, glass doors into the kitchen, so we could be in the hallway.
It made this whole story so interesting. I mean, we both talked about where we wanted to place this terrorist family, and we wanted a house that felt comfortable to any audience member looking at it. It didn't have any kind of interior design that would offend anybody, that would make everyone feel like it's just a good American home. And, of course, you have this terrorist family living in it.
She's amazing.
From my we all believe Shoray is absolutely amazing. I had so much fun working with her. I got the honor of doing the first two shows with her, and in this case it was 5 and 6, and got to do some really powerful scenes with her, with Nestor, who's also an amazing actor out of New York. I mean, you know, from a directing point of view, when you have two actors like this and the quality of the script we had with this storyline, it's just a pleasure. You look forward to going to work every day.
He's our son.
You know, it's really funny, too. I'll never forget, I tell this story all the time, is that, you know, this was like the first scene where she had to cry like this. And we do what's called a rehearsal blocking, just to put it on its feet. And we did that. And then we have to show it to the crew. And at none of these points are we shooting this. This is just to show everybody what we're going to do. And every single time she cried, she was in it. And I kept saying to her, Sheree, this is only a rehearsal. You really don't waste it. You don't have to get that emotional. Mm. And I mean, at this level, every single time. And she said, John, she said, I can't do it any other way.
No, Tim did.
She said, I can only do it like this, or I can't do it at all.
Tim did the episode where she, when she was injured, she's been shot in the arm, and the guard grabs her, and it's rehearsals, and the guard grabs her arm, and she jumps a mile as if he's...
That's right.
She's really been shot in her. I mean, it was amazing to watch.
Yeah, she's just an amazing actress. A victory moment in CTU. We have so many victory moments in CTU. Not my personal favorite, but no. it works. I guess they're strange for me because I know they're so short-lived.
Yeah.
You know, I know that there's something around the corner, and I think our audience does too. A moment like that was way bigger in the original script, and so sometimes it's a compromise. Sometimes you talk to the writers and you say, yeah, I think this is too big. It's going to take away from the story. And they kind of agree and they kind of pare it down a little bit for you. So it's not so hard as a director to make it feel real.
And this was the first one. I mean, I think
that's the first one of the year, obviously.
In a couple of episodes, there were quite a few more. And because of the groans in the production meetings, they were cut out.
That you get full recognition for a job exceptionally well done.
Plus, you know, to us, it's always, it feels like a place of work. I mean, we got to keep CTU as a real place of work. And you know, I mean, there's victories and losses during any work day in any business. And I just don't think you cheer when they happen. So it's just one of those things.
Why is that?
When we brought Richard in, we gave him a polygraph. It indicated that he was possibly withholding information from us.
About my kidnapping? My son and I have wildly different political views, but I can't believe that he was involved.
I think William Devane did a great job for us, too, as a secretary. And this is, you know, a great moment again at CTU. It's always about these little sort of inner politics that's happening, in this case between Driscoll, played wonderfully by Alberta Watson, and Roger, who plays Curtis, Roger Cross.
You subjected my son to SDT?
Yes, sir, we did.
Oops. What a great moment.
I want to see my son now.
You know, and this is, I mean, for me as a director, it's fun. I mean, if you think back on, you know, two acts ago when we did that big, you know, rescue of Heller, and now you're in this, and it's a complete different storyline, and McLennan Forrester's involved, and you got these little inner politics at CTU, and it just, I think, is why our show is so watchable. It just never stops. This was interesting. You got to tell me about this giant duct that just comes right down in the middle of the room.
Well, we've built this in a warehouse where I have all these columns. So there's actually a column in that duct that's holding the roof of the building up. So
you had no choice in a way.
Yeah. I mean, there's one hidden in a round column. There's one actually hidden in the corner of a glass. I think opposite where the two glass
doors meet, right?
Panels meet. There's one there, but because they're all different, you don't realize that there is
columns.
A rigid structure within this space that, you know, it feels like one big open space rather than...
But my point, I guess, is that you could have made it more subtle than that, but instead you kind of went the other way and made it this big silver piece of ductwork,
well, because
which I think is just so interesting.
I think by that time I disguised them all. And this one, I just thought, well, I'm just going to put a big silver duct in there. And I think actually originally we wanted, because in the old CTU, the conference room got really hot. And the idea was to pump the air conditioning, because this season, all the air conditioning actually works. All that duct work up in the ceiling works. So we were going to pump the air conditioning down into that room. And I'm not sure if we do, but I think because of the design of the windows, they all open now.
Yeah, it's a cooler space.
It doesn't get hot in there anymore.
And it is interesting, too, because I remember the holding room in the original CTU was something we had such a problem with, because I think it was designed for one show in a space that we didn't think we'd use again. Mm-hmm. And of course, 3 years down the road, we were still using that same little box. And so you got to really start this holding room from scratch. So what are some of the differences from the original holding room?
It's the same design, except it's slightly bigger. And then we do have the adjoining room with the glass window. We did design that middle window with the glass. It's actually on a steel frame, and it is able to be like a guillotine. It is able to lift out of the set, but we've never done that. We couldn't afford
the structure.
Not the structure. The structure's all there. It's the electric hoist.
Oh, to pull it up.
To pull it. But it's the same design, except for the concrete underneath the blue light.
That's right.
It's to match the block work that's on the outside of the building that we're shooting in, just in case we ever needed to go and shoot outside. I thought I'd bring some of that architecture in here.
But some of the things that helps us in here, of course, is that if you see the panels on a wider shot, if you see a middle panel, that middle panel actually moves away.
Yeah, there's three doors really into that room, but only one is ever revealed. There's that panel just there to the left. There's a door behind that.
Yeah. And then the other thing we did too in the new observation room is we put all those monitors, and we did it slightly different. We did it on the backside so they would reflect in the window, which I really liked. We were able to get a shot through the window and see a reflection of what the video was shooting.
And of course, this time we didn't have an office above. We used to have offices above the interrogation room.
That's
so
right.
It didn't have any light from above. This time I've just put grating above there.
You see the shadowing in the back. That's through the grating in the roof, which we weren't able to do before. And again, from a story point, this is a great twist.
Now,
this
again, is we cut location. To outside, and it's nice and warm. Yeah. And
this was just really above our studio, just north of our studio. And I believe it was the old Manson Ranch, the old ranch where Manson had set up his commune, just north of where we are, where our studio is.
And again, rather than rather than shooting in a woods where we don't get any vista, we go out in the top of a hill where, when we go scout up there, there's no one up there, so it feels secluded.
Yeah, it's really interesting, too, from my end, because I love the fact that there's the city right below you. I mean, the suburbs are right below you, and you can actually see them. And, I guess if you really think it through, you think, well, I guess someone could look up and see them, but
I know what.
They feel so far away.
I went up and took some satellite photographs.
That's right.
I went up in a plane and with a long lens took some photographs, and there were two guys on a hill.
That's what it was.
Outside a white van, and it looked like a drug deal, and I took photographs. I'm sure, obviously, who knows what it was, but it was sort of out in the middle of, in that same area, so we all thought it was sort of believable.
Now, this is interesting, too. This was, I think, the first show that we had to do this for. The clinic, the CTU clinic, which became
CTU,
unbeknownst to us, a main set for the rest of the year. We constantly kept going back to the space.
And this was a part of CTU that we didn't actually finish for the first episode. This was an area that we got cut out because of budget, and then we realized, they wrote in the clinic, so we were able to finish it. The area above this we never actually finished, but this area then became the clinic, then the locker rooms.
That's right. Many other things. Lounge.
Oh, the lounge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, a wonderful scene. Kim, I think, is just such a beautiful actress and just so strong in this part. And I think this is such a great triangle that we set in this show, which goes, goes pretty deep into the year. And great performances by James, Kim, and Kiefer here. These aren't easy to play. Our show, I think, again, puts a little twist on it because of the real time and because of what's hanging over everyone's head. This stuff has an urgency to it that would be a little soap opera on another show, but in our show, it just has an urgency to it and a reality to it. So really fun for me as a director to work with these actors and figure a scene like this out. When you're in this state. We had actually a technical problem in this scene too. Very rarely do you have a camera problem or a film developing problem, and we did on this scene, and there's a little bit of shimmer that you'd have to watch really carefully in the background. In fact, I think you can see it right there. Shouldn't be saying this, I guess. But, you know, these things happen. I mean, you're working in a technical world, after all, and you know, film is just developed like it always has been, and there's always some things that can go wrong. We're actually very lucky that it doesn't happen often, but in this case it did. We were, you know, potentially had to reshoot a lot of it, but we didn't, which was great. It would have broken the actor's heart to have to reshoot this.
You're the one that saved Audrey's life. Thank you.
And it's interesting with this clinic, too, because it kept growing on us. It started out very small.
Well, I don't think, actually, it's the same space.
Yeah. It just looks like it got bigger.
The only thing we ever added was the operating room, but it was either a clinic and then we redressed it. This room actually became the lounge, but it was different areas of this supposed CTU hospital.
And what do you think is the CTU trademark in the set? I would say it's all stripes.
It's the barcode.
Yeah.
In the old CTU, I used to just have stripes on the windows. Now this year, it's actually a barcode.
And what does it say?
It says lots of things.
Give it away right now.
No, never.
You know, people will try to figure it out after they see this.
I think you'd have to
be freezing the frame and trying to figure out what your barcode stripes say.
It says Jack loves.
And see,
Audrey.
Now this becomes interesting from the story for me, is that here's the kiss that should have happened really
at the
four
rescue.
Scenes ago. Mm. But you got to be very careful. I mean, if they're kissing in every scene, then this one doesn't become as impactful as it ends up being. You know, I think it's a fan favorite, this kiss. And then the clock, which really hasn't changed from the pilot, has it?
Not at all.
That's the one thing that hasn't changed, is our yellow ticking clock, which used to be our main logo, but they changed the design of it in year three. It became more of a silver 24 than a yellow digital 24. And here again, we're playing our technology. This has all become much easier, too, for us, all these pictures that need to be done in the digital world. I do a lot of them personally, actually, and so does Joseph. All the satellite pictures you saw or you see in the show of cars traveling along highways, I would say that they were all shot by Joseph, which they were at this point. He goes up in a small plane with a digital camera and he shoots all the pictures. And a lot, for example, that whole sequence, I shot all the pictures for myself. It's kind of fun for us to get involved that way. And it's so easy to do with digital cameras because you can turn them around the same day.
Yeah, we did the episode where the yellow Nissan hijacking of the yellow Nissan truck, I went up and took some photographs, and Mark, the second AD, was down on the ground pulling somebody out of the car so I could take photographs of it. I've got photographs of the three real police cars that pulled up to arrest him while we were shooting it. And we were about to fly away, and I told my pilot to circle just in case Mark needed to sort of point up and say, no, really, we're taking photographs. You see that airplane up there? Honest. Oh, when he hits him, I thought, oh, that was so well done as well with the shovel.
Yeah, this was interesting with the shovel. It was so brutal. And see, people don't realize in L.A., you virtually can go for a 10-minute ride and be in this kind of terrain. I think, you know, there was a lot of criticism saying, oh, my God, they didn't drive that long and they're in the desert. But L.A. really, you know, once you get past where people live, it's like this. It really is like this. This is, without exaggeration, 5 minutes from our studio.
Well, those hills opposite, that's where I live, and the jet stage is in the valley below.
And this was great. Again, just to make it
the
different.
The second one, you know, boom.
The fact that, you know, you've got a kid with a shovel and it's a dangerous thing. Of course, it's a rubber shovel, and you look really carefully. It kind of wiggles a little bit like a rubber shovel, but you got to look really carefully.
Who wants me dead? I want to know. Tell me.
Your father.
And then this was hilarious because I really wanted him hitting him, but, I mean, even with a rubber shovel, you can't. You can't hit someone with a rubber shovel because even that hurts. So that's a dummy, which we, you know, I quickly get some hair. And so the hair people were like scrounging up a wig and we threw it on a dummy and he just pummeled the dummy for a while.
Oh, that's
so really, no No people were hurt in the making of the scene, really.
Or shovels.
Or shovels. And then this has become a trademark for us, these boxes, you know, where you get to... And it's, yeah, that's another one of your designs, isn't it? Is that
no.
The torture device?
No, I don't think so.
And again, I love these final boxes, just sort of setting everybody and where they're going to be. And we couldn't leave people without a little bit of a cliffhanger at the end, because that is our trademark.
What was your courier
term? Now, if people have watched a whole series, by the time they've seen looking at this commentary, you also realize that this gentleman shows up later in episode 12, and McLennan Forrester. We didn't know that at the time when we hired him, but we really liked him as an actor, and so we brought him back when we eventually got to McLennan Forrester. And here we introduce the override, which we chase now for probably the next 10 episodes.
Create a disaster to plan a meltdown?
Theoretically, yes, but merely having possession of the override wouldn't be enough. There are safeguards in place.
What kind of safeguards?
Anyone who's trying to use the override would have to hack through the reactor's firewall. That would take massive computer power, which NRC could see coming a mile away.
Is it possible that NRC could miss this due to unusually heavy traffic on the internet?
I don't follow.
Well, less than an hour ago...
Everyone loves the season. I think, you know, everyone's arguing always about what their favorite season is. But I think, overwhelmingly, I think we've had the biggest response in season four this season. And people just say it's the best season we've ever done. So why? It's really hard to say. I mean, we always put together a really interesting cast and a bunch of great characters and have these dangers to L.A. and to all our characters that are, you know, based on time. I mean... That's a formula for us that we always put together.
Thank you, Mr. Reese.
The way things mesh this year, I'm not sure. I really am not sure. I wish I could put my finger on one thing.
I think it might be because we're just all comfortable in this world now.
And I think our audience is all comfortable in this world now, too.
And we know what works. Even the things are written, we all groan and I don't know, we just sort of...
Yeah, but like I said, it's really hard to put our finger on any one thing. I mean, you know, we have a mole. Not that we haven't done a mole before, but it's a little slightly different twist on it. And it's little formula things that every television show needs to do. Ours are just not as obvious. But I think it's just one of those satisfying seasons for a lot of people. And I think over the years, too, we're building more and more fan base. And you know, I told two friends and they told two friends. I think that's part of it, too. And so now everybody's watching the show. Actually, this was one of the pilots that flew with the unit that did all our helicopter work, and it's a memorial to him. Well, like I said, I'm John Kassar. Thanks for listening.
I'm Joseph Hodges. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.